number of references that we're going to move around to this morning, and as we continue to work through the Respect series. And every time you get hurt, you prove this idea of respect. Every time. Every time you get mad at somebody, you prove this idea of respect, that you have an expectation that people should treat you a certain way. And you might not call it respect, you might call it something else, but we have this expectation that people should treat us a certain way. And yet, as we've been saying, the Bible says that we reap what we sow. So in many ways, the kind of attitudes that are coming towards you are the kind of attitudes you're sending out toward others in various ways. Not all the time. We know that there's exceptions to the rule, but most of the time, the way people are treating you are reflective of how you're treating others. So if we want to be respected and treated a certain way, then we need to make sure that we're doing that also, which is not the easiest thing to do, especially in certain contexts. So how do we do that? Well, where we've been so far is, first, I need to be able to see people the way God sees. Then I need to be able to understand what's at stake, that in all our social encounters, many times someone's eternal destination is at stake just by simply the attitude that I'm giving them and the things that I'm saying to them. Even if I don't talk about spiritual things, I could be affecting someone's eternal destination. Then we talked about how we need to maintain certain areas in our lives to have the capacity to respect. Then we talked about how we need evidence beyond getting it all right, because sometimes we can get it all right and it still doesn't work, because there is an evidence there that needs to be a part of that puzzle. If you don't know what we're talking about, they're on the website and you can listen to the message, whether it's for the first time or to review it. We talked about respecting age, those older than us and those younger than us, and unfortunately, most of us in this room have more people younger than us than older than us, and so we made that emphasis on the need to be respectful towards kids and to teenagers and to young adults, especially since we often say, I hear us often say, that we want to reach this generation because this generation desperately needs Jesus. Well, we can't reach them if we don't interact with them well. Then we talked about respecting the relationship of marriage in general, as well as people's marriage relationships, mine and others. Now, we're going to dive into the battle of the sexes. How do I get along? If I'm a man, how do I get along with ladies? And if I'm a woman, how do I get along with men? Because we think differently, do we not? We don't really see the world the same way. So to kind of highlight that, I have a video for you from a guy named Mark Gunger.
We're going to start discussing men's brains, women's brains, and how they're very different from each other. Now, I want to start with men's brains, all right? Now, men's brains are very unique. Men's brains are made up of little boxes, and we have a box for everything. We've got a box for the car. We've got a box for the money. We've got a box for the job. We've got a box for you. We've got a box for the kids. We've got a box for your mother somewhere in the basement. We got boxes everywhere. And the rule is, the boxes don't touch. When a man discusses a particular subject, we go to that particular box, we pull that box out, we open the box, we discuss only what is in that box, all right? And then we close the box and put it away, being very, very careful not to touch any other boxes. Brains are very, very different from men's brains. Women's brains are made up of a big ball of wire. And everything is connected to everything. and the money's connected to the car, and the car's connected to your job, and your kids are connected to your mother, and everything's connected to everything. And it's like... It's like the internet superhighway, okay? And it's all driven by energy that we call emotion. It's just... It's one of the reasons why women tend to remember everything. Because if you take an event and you connect it to an emotion, it burns in your memory and you can remember it forever. The same thing happens for men. It just doesn't happen very often because, quite frankly, we don't care. Women tend to care about everything. And she just loves it. Okay? Now, men, we have a box in our brain that most women are not aware of. This particular box has nothing in it. In fact, we call it the nothing box. And of all the boxes a man has in his brain, the nothing box is our favorite box. If a man has a chance, he'll go to his nothing box every time. That's why a man can do something seemingly completely brain dead for hours on end. You know, like fishing. Now, they've actually measured this. The University of Pennsylvania a couple of years ago did a study and discovered that men have the ability to think about absolutely nothing and still breathe. You know, they connected all the wires and stuff like that and watched the brain activity, then all of a sudden,
I think he's dead!
Huh? You know, women can't do it. They can't do it. Their minds never stop. And they don't understand the nothing box, and it drives them crazy. Because nothing drives a woman more crazy or makes her feel more irritated than to witness a man doing nothing.
Don't you love that? Pause that. We don't want a commercial. We are different, right? We think differently. And if you're married, you know that relatively well. But learning how to relate to the opposite sex or the opposite gender is irrelevant to whether or not you're married. All of us have relationships with people of the opposite gender, whether you have, if you're a guy and you have a mom, or you have sisters, or you have daughters, or you have coworkers, or you have neighbors, you have friends. Same with ladies. If you have a dad, you have brothers, you have sons, you have other relatives, coworkers, friends. We all relate to people of the opposite gender. We do so here in church, and we don't understand each other, and this relationship is a relationship that's filled with explosiveness and conflict, and we've seen it throughout history, even over the past 100 years or so, when women began to push for the right to vote, and there was hot debate and conflict over what is the role of a woman in society versus a man and how they're supposed to interact with each other. Then you go further into the women's liberation movement and those things and how do we function, men versus women. We see it today as marriages break down and we disrespect each other. I mean, there's even a board game called The Battle of the Sexes. This is a reality that we know, that men and women just have a hard time getting along. In a large part, that's due to the reality that we just don't think the same way. And if we can learn to understand the way each other thinks, which is a scary thought. I loved when he did the whole Catholic thing when he came to approach the woman's man or woman's brain. But highly recommend these two books. They're about 15 years or old. They're not 15 years or so old. They're not new, but they're by Shanti Feldhahn. And then she co-authors with her husband on the one for men only. And what they've done is they've written, like for women only, they've explained a man's mind and the way a woman communicates. And so they try to help ladies understand the way a man thinks, and then same for the other book. So I highly encourage you to read these books, especially if you're married, but even if you're not. It's helpful to understand the way a man's brain works and a woman's brain works. So how do we end this war between us? How do we become one? When God wants us, doesn't God say he wants us to be one? He wants us to be at peace with each other. He wants us to be united with each other. And that's not just to find two separate living spaces and stay away from each other and call a truce. You know, we have men's cave, a man's cave, and then what's the wife's cave? The rest of the house, I think. Well, a she shed. See, I'm learning something new. Okay, I never even heard of that. So we have woman's cave or man's cave and she shed. Man's cave sounds better. I don't know. But we go in opposite corners of the space, and you see that sometimes in gatherings. The men start grouping together and the women start grouping together because that's the only way we've learned how to have peace with one another. When God wants us to have true unity in which we can be with each other, interact with each other, and still get along. So how do I do that? Well, I can do that if I can see clearly. And what do I need to see clearly? Well, first, we need to see that God has called us to not be at war, but to be at one. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And not that there aren't genders, not that there aren't nationality differences or economic differences, but Jesus is saying we need to see beyond that to see that we're all part of one human race. And God's intention is that all of us become a part of his family and for us to be one with each other. It's irrelevant whether we're male, female, what nationality, what economic class. God wants us to be one with each other. But there's a hindrance to that or a challenge to that. 1 Peter 3:10 says, in light of this relationship, he starts with the husband-wife relationship and talks about working through relational tensions. And he says that we are to keep our tongue from evil. Sometimes we don't realize that when we speak, when we attack someone, when we defend ourselves, when we react to what somebody's doing, we feel justified because we think, well, they deserve that. You know, I'm just doing this because they said that, and someone needs to put them in their place. Someone needs to make sure they don't ever do that again. And so we begin to say stuff out of our anger and our hurt and our frustration, not realizing that many times the mouth attempts to satisfy the heart. That when you are angry, you speak out of your anger, not because it's what the Holy Spirit's leading you to do or what biblical principles tell you to do. It's not because it's the best thing. It's not because it's what's going to create peace. It's not because it's what's going to create justice or righteousness. It's because that's going to satisfy my anger. And how many times do we say to somebody, especially to someone of the opposite gender, something that's harmful, hurtful, it's out of anger because it satisfies my emotion? Or it satisfies my pain. Someone needs to know that they did this, and I speak out of my emotion. And the mouth many times attempts to satisfy our emotions, where God wants to be satisfied by the next verse. He says, seek peace and pursue it. The mouth attempts to satisfy my emotions, where God is satisfied by peace. So when you find yourself in conflict with somebody, especially the opposite gender, remember, when you ever feel those emotions boiling all the way up to here and you're trying your best not to let it out and steam starting to come out your ears, and God says, don't satisfy your emotion, satisfy God. And what satisfies God is for me to be peaceful in this moment. So first I need to see that this is what God wants. He wants us to be at peace with each other. The second item I need to see is the hindrances of impulses. That there are certain impulses that men and women have that differ from each other, and it makes this relationship complicated. The first is the drive for power. James 2, verse 1 says, my brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. Then Peter, again, in 1 Peter 3:14, says, do not fear their intimidation. So there's two things that are going on here. First, do not show favoritism to others. Now, the context here in James chapter 2 is there are some people that are wealthy that are showing up into God's house, and there's some people that are poor. And people begin to see this distinction, and they begin to buddy up to the people who have money. And they begin to show a cold shoulder to the people who don't. Now, why are they doing this? They're doing this because they see there is some potential gain for me if I lump myself in with this crowd. And Peter says that to not react in our fear, and the context there is persecution is the cloud that's hanging over our heads there, and he's fearful that they're going to abandon the Christian faith, disassociate from the church, so that they can prevent themselves from being persecuted. And so one of the ways that we also group with other people is when we're afraid that we're going to be insulted if we're not a part of this group. And we do that, men with women, because when us guys are somewhere and there's other guys around and there's ladies around, and some guys begin to talk a certain way about women, and they begin to insult them, and maybe they cross a line at some point, and they're belittling them and doing things they shouldn't, saying things they shouldn't. Us guys, we might have a tendency to be afraid to correct that or to say anything about that or to step out and defend the ladies, because what if they start making fun of me? What if that attention starts coming my way? And I don't want to be on the receipt. Ladies do that too. And you're around a bunch of ladies and they're talking about how all men are pigs and they're crazy and they're lazy and I don't know what's going on with them and they're just a bunch of whatever. And I'm afraid to say anything when they cross the line because I want to be with ladies. I don't want to be lumped in with the guys because I see how they think about the guys. And we do that in gender roles, we do that in other roles where we lump ourselves in with the people who we feel have power. Not necessarily financial power, but power to prevent us from being insulted, power to prevent us from being out of the group, and we emotionally respond to things. And when that's going on, it's kind of hard to do the right thing in these relationships, isn't it? And so I need to be aware of that drive that's happening as I relate to others. The second drive, James 2:13 says, for judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy, and mercy triumphs over judgment. Now, mercy triumphs over judgments. Judgment here is I'm formulating an opinion about somebody, whether it's by the way they look or the way they talk or what gender they are. I begin to form an opinion about somebody, The scripture is saying here that mercy is superior to that outlook. To look at people and form opinions about them, being merciful and being understanding and not just presuming certain things is more powerful, it's superior to judgment and opinions. But why is it that I begin to formulate opinions about others? Because see, sometimes when we see someone who's different than me, they act differently than me, they behave differently than me, they hold different opinions than I do, oftentimes the emotional reaction to that is to attack that, to make fun of that, to belittle that, to see that as inferior. And the reason why we don't realize this, that we're doing that, is because we're afraid that it's either their way is better or my way is better. And I don't want my way to not be better. I don't want my way to be inferior, so I have to bring that down and belittle that so that I don't feel inferior. Then Peter, I believe it is, yes, 1 Peter 3 verse 17 says, it is better if God should will it so that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. And see, sometimes we have a tendency to justify ourselves. When I do something and someone gets mad about it or someone gets upset that I did that, we have a tendency to try to find a way in which I'm still right in that. It was right for me to do that. That was the exception. I should have done it that way because we're kind of afraid to be wrong sometimes. I don't want to be seen as the bad guy, so I need to make sure. And we sometimes try to blame it on, well, they were mistreating me or this isn't just. And Peter is saying here, don't suffer for doing the wrong thing. Sometimes you might suffer for doing the right thing, but don't suffer for doing the wrong thing. But what is going on? Why is it that we are afraid of being wrong? Why is it we're afraid that our behavior, our lifestyle, might be more inferior to another? It's because of the impulse that we have to run from intimacy and vulnerability. We're afraid of that. We're afraid to sit in a spot where this person thinks differently than me. I'm just going to listen to that for a moment. I'm not going to think that it's wrong. I'm just going to hear that out. I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about biblical ideas. I'm talking about anywhere in between. I'm just going to think about that. Maybe their idea is better than mine. And that's uncomfortable for us. It's hard for, especially if you think about, ladies, their minds are all over the place. And am I comfortable to sit in a spot to just think, no, they're not crazy. They just think differently than me. Or men aren't dumb, like we try to portray them to be in our culture, but they just process things differently than me. But we're afraid to be vulnerable, to allow that to be a possibility, and we're afraid to be intimate with one another. And we often put up fronts, and we put up the strong man thing, and we begin to attack. Why? Because we're afraid of intimacy and vulnerability. Are you afraid of that? Are you afraid to be intimate and vulnerable? I don't mean physically intimate. I just mean exposed emotionally to somebody. And if we cannot get comfortable in that place, this war, this conflict between men and women is going to continue to rage on, because I'm never going to understand if I can't be humble enough to listen and learn and understand. The hindrance of impulses. Thirdly, the hindrance of needs. Now, this is going to be a little deep, and I hope that you can hear me out on this interesting dynamic of the way sometimes a man will react to a woman a certain way, and then she'll react negatively, and a man will be confused. And sometimes a woman or a man will react to a woman a certain way, and she'll be confused. Have you ever, ladies, been confused by a man? And you thought, I don't know where this comes from. Why are you acting this way? Guys, have you ever been confused by a woman? I don't understand where this came from. I don't understand why you're acting this way. Well, there are many explanations for that, but there are two we're going to focus on today, and there are two basic needs that men and women have that create confusion in the relationship. The first, 1 Timothy 5, verse 1 and 2, Paul writes to Timothy and says that they need to see the older women as mothers and the younger women as sisters in all purity. And then 1 Peter 3, 3, he says, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry and putting on dresses. There are two motives that are revealed there. First, the instruction that the guy needs to see the ladies as relatives of theirs. There's a reason why. Because a man sometimes can have the tendency to see a woman as an object. And we know that. Men sometimes can objectify women. And so Paul needs to give the instruction, see her as your sister. Now, that should change that objectifying if I do that. See her as your mother. See her as your whatever. And so Paul's trying to correct something that happens there. Then the writing about the ladies not focusing on their external appearance. Now, the focus is there that character should be more important, but he points out that ladies care about their appearance. Do they not? Ladies want to look pretty. And there is a need both for men and for women for beauty, but they're coming from two different angles. And here's what begins to create the confusion. A woman wants to be beautiful, and so she'll do herself up. She'll make sure that her hair looks nice. She cares that somebody sees her as beautiful. And when a man sees that, sometimes a man takes the signal that she's saying, I'm available. I want someone to take me because I'm doing... Why else would a lady make herself look beautiful? Then she's out on the prowl and she wants some guy to take her, right? No, that's not right. But men sometimes get the wrong signal that if someone, especially if the dress begins, the outfit begins to become too low cut, too high cut, too form-fitting, a guy thinks that she's after a physical relationship. But that's not what a woman is after when she tries to look beautiful. A woman is after because we've picked up on the subtle cues in society that I get accepted when I'm beautiful. People respond positively when I'm beautiful. People seem to have affection towards me and love me when I'm beautiful. And so really what they're looking for on the inside is to be loved and accepted. And what happens is when a woman gets beautiful and a man responds the wrong way and he gets flirtatious or he makes an advance and a woman slaps his hand and reacts negatively, the man's confused because he didn't expect that. And the woman's angry because that's not what she was looking for, love and acceptance. But if a man can begin to see that world and understand that, and sometimes we look down on women, when sometimes women can begin to become promiscuous and give themselves over to men. Sometimes women can fall into an affair or into adultery, not because they really are looking for that physical activity, but because they desperately want someone to show that they love and accept them. And sometimes men take advantage of that. And men need to realize that they just want to be loved and accepted. Then men. Now here, let's get into the man's view. Because women sometimes think because a man is interested in sex that they're pigs. Okay? God created that activity. Did you know that? And it is not sinful and it is not perverted for a man to want to participate in that activity within certain parameters and boundaries. And when a man seeks that, and a man doesn't know this in his subconscious, he's not alert to this, but a man's not only looking for that physical activity either. He is, I mean, that's enjoyable, but there's a reason why a man loves to walk into a room with a gorgeous woman on his arm. Because what happens is that says, if she's with me, I mean, look at her, she's drop-dead gorgeous. If she's with me, I must be something if she's with me. I mean, why else would she be with me? There must be something valuable about me if she's with me. And if you're married, the physical relationship is sometimes not even satisfying. You might have experienced this. It's not even satisfying to the man if you didn't want him. You see, a woman sometimes gives herself over because, well, the guy wants this. But no, a man desperately wants to know that a beautiful woman wants him. And that's when it's satisfying. Why? Because there's something emotional to it as well. A man desperately wants to know that he's valuable. And didn't we say last week that women want love and men want respect, right? And so many times what a woman perceives as a pig and perversion is a man desperately seeking to find a sense of self-worth in himself. And sometimes that gets him in a bad place, where a man begins to become himself promiscuous and a womanizer and tries to chase down as many women as he can and never finds satisfaction. Why? Because he's not really looking for that physical activity. He's looking for a sense of self-worth. And if we can understand, because you see how this can be explosive? And if guys can understand, this doesn't mean I should touch her. This doesn't mean I should flirt with her. This means she just wants to be loved, and not that way, but loved as a sister or a mother. And if a man begins to see that, he's going to do the right thing. And if a woman can realize that he wants me that way, not just because he's a pig, but because he's definitely searching for value and self-worth. And not that I need to cross any boundaries to make that happen, but there needs to be a level of understanding in the need. The second need, don't mean to make you squirmish today. This is a PG-13 message. Which this topic is thoroughly dealt with in Scripture. So if sex makes us uncomfortable, then take out certain portions of the Bible, because it's a very highly and powerful part of relationships. The second need is the need for protection. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 10 and 11 says, Therefore the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. However, the Lord is neither... However, in the Lord, neither is woman independent of man or man independent of woman. So there's a co-equality amongst men and women, and yet there is authority. We saw last week, man is the head of the household. There's some kind of authority that's given to a man. Then 1 Peter 3:7 mentions the women as the weaker species. Now, before you attack me on that idea, let me tell you, first of all, that that does not mean that women at all are inferior to men, particularly intellectually. I think what he's referring to is physical power. However, we can find an exception to that. I went to the gym the other day to work out. I'm trying to fix some back issues and stuff. And when I walked in, I noticed this lady who had arms that were like, looked like she had Arnold Schwarzenegger arms. And I thought about this message and the idea of women being weaker than men. And I thought, that woman, if we got in a fight, I'd be dead. I mean, look at my arm, seriously. So there are exceptions where women are definitely physically stronger than a man, depending on which man, which woman you have. But in general, men tend to be more physically stronger than women. Again, it doesn't mean inferiority, it's just a physical makeup. But there's a dynamic in men having the responsibility to lead and women being the weaker of the two partners. And there is a conflict within both of them. A man within himself really, and if you're married, you know this. If you have a dad, you might know this. Men desperately want to be the protector. They want to be the protector and the provider, and they want to know that they provided for and kept their family safe. They want to know that they did that. That's why sometimes there's the conflict when the woman begins to earn more money than the man. Understand there's an emotional dynamic there that the man feels like he's not doing what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to be the provider and the protector. But women begin to pick up on that. Women are a little more emotionally aware than us guys are, just like he said, because we don't really care. Women tend to pick up the emotional signals. And what happens is a woman begins to realize that what the man is saying is he wants her to need him. And a man sometimes doesn't even realize that he's sending that message. He's just doing what he thinks he is supposed to be doing. But a woman picks up that he needs him, and so she thinks, well, I love him, and I want him to feel like I need him, so she becomes more needy. And what happens is she violates another need of his, and that is that men need personal space. They need a spot where you don't go over there. And that's confusing to a woman because she sees he wants me to need him. And so she presses in. And then before she knows it, he goes running for the hills. You see that in dating relationships sometimes, do you not? Where a woman responds and then she begins to get obsessed over him and smother him. And then before you know it, he's gone. He can't be seen anymore because he vanished. He ran. Because men want you to need them, but they want you to give them their space. Women, before you think that men are conflicting emotionally, women do the same thing, but just for different reasons. Women, though they don't like to admit this to themselves, would love to have a knight in shining armor. Women love the idea of a guy showing up to save the day. They just like to keep that secret because they don't want to be perceived as weak or not independent. But it surfaces, and I see it surface when a guy does a certain thing for a woman and you see her light up. I'm so glad that he took care of that for me, or he stood up for me, because there's something within a woman that wants to be rescued. But there's also something in a woman that doesn't want to be ruled over. I didn't mean that I wanted him to become my dictator. I just wanted him to rescue me from certain things. And what happens is a guy senses her desire for a knight shining armor, and he comes in and he begins to take control, and he begins to dominate and take care of things. And then before he knows it, she gets all upset and angry, or she begins to sulk and get depressed, or she just reacts in a negative way. And that sends all kinds of confusing signals to a guy. Because he's thinking, I thought she wanted me to be the knight in shining armor, and now she's kicking me out of the picture here. I don't understand what's going on. Because we send conflicting messages to each other. And the temptation is to do one or the other, to try to press in as far as I can go and then realize that it doesn't work, or to try to just back off and stay away altogether. And you know what happens when we do that? Neither of those two competing needs get met. If a man decides, well, I'm just going to not pay attention to her, I'm just going to back off, then a woman doesn't feel loved anymore and doesn't feel accepted. And so he can't just back off. But if I go in too aggressively and try to become a ruler, in a sense, then that kills another need of hers as well. So what am I supposed to do with that? What's that? Balance. But except there's one tricky part here. Because every woman is different. Not every woman is the same. So wherever that line is that says, all right, come up to here, but don't come any further, wherever that line is in a different place for each woman. And it's the same for the man. When a man shows that he wants you to need him, you come in and you realize there's a line somewhere, and it's tricky because the line is in different places. Some men are more needy than others. Okay? And those men who are will not admit that to anybody. But some men are more needy than others, and I don't know where that line is. And so what do I need to do? I need to do a dance here. I realize that there's a need here, but there's a limitation to it. So I need to step in and start doing the right thing and try to fish out for where the line is. And the problem is, and this is where our fear of vulnerability and intimacy plays in here. The problem is, we know that if we do this, there's crocodiles lurking in that water, isn't there? Because if I step on that line not knowing that, I might get attacked. But if I don't do this, I'm never going to learn that, oh, this is where she wanted me to be. This is where he wanted me to be. That hurt. That was painful. But I have to be willing to go through the pain of finding the line in order to satisfy her or to satisfy him. And this doesn't have to be just between a husband and a wife. This could be a dad and his daughter. This could be a mother and her son. This could be brother to sister. This could be friend to friend. Learning that dance of how do I make you feel loved and accepted, but not rule over you? How do I make you feel needed and valuable and yet not jump into your personal space? And you know that they've studied people who have sexual addictions, and they have found that if a woman can find acceptance in a non-sexual way, she begins to be delivered from her sexual addictions. And if a man can find a way to be emotionally validated in a non-sexual way, he begins to be delivered from his sexual addictions. Do you see how complicated this relationship is? But God did not leave us without guidance. He wants us to be one with each other, and it is possible. And sometimes it's just learning people. I grew up with two sisters, no brothers. And then for whatever reason, when I was in school, the vast majority of my friends were women. And I would wish to say that any of them had the slightest interest in me romantically, and they did not. But for some reason, I learned how to relate to women, and some of them was from these books. So how do we bring peace? The last thing I need to see clearly is the posture for solution. 1 Peter 3, verse 7 tells the husbands to live with their wives in an understanding way, to begin to understand one another, to hear each other, to listen and pay attention. And then Peter says in 1 Peter 3, 8, and 9, he gives us some characteristics that's the right posture, the right attitude to have in these relationships, and he says this. Be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you are called for that very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. So what are the traits? First, to be harmonious. And the goal here is to get along. It needs to be my goal to get along with him. It needs my goal to be my goal to get along with her. That needs to be the goal. Second trait, sympathetic. Sympathetic. The goal is to appreciate their emotional needs. And that means for a man, to see a woman get prettied up and look gorgeous, and to appreciate that she needs love, not necessarily physical intimacy, and to appreciate that that's the way her mind works. When a woman needs to be rescued but then needs you to back off, a man needs to appreciate and be sympathetic to that's the way her heart is. And for a woman, when she sees that a man needs his space but needs her to need him as well, a woman needs to be sympathetic and understanding of that's the way his heart is. And when a man desperately wants physical intimacy, rather than seeing him as a pig, though sometimes people obviously cross lines, but rather than see him as a pig, see him as an individual that has emotional needs just like I do. They just come in different forms. Then, brotherly and kind-hearted. The goal here is to desire the best for them. We shouldn't become vindictive and like I said, see all men as pigs, or us men sometimes can see women as an emotional landmine that are unpredictable. And you ladies know that you're thoroughly predictable, aren't you? It's just you understand the way you think and we don't. Women aren't emotional basket cases, and I need to want the best for them. So if this is what ladies need, I need to want that for them. Not just they need to learn to get over it, they need to not be so emotional. I need to want the best for them, and vice versa. Then, humble in spirit. The goal is to not assume any superiority. He thinks differently than me, and that doesn't make me superior in the slightest bit intellectually. He has different emotional needs. That doesn't make me superior to him emotionally just because he's sometimes asleep to those emotions. And for a man, just because she's always emotional, and I love the, and this is so such a reality with women. I love how everything is connected to everything, and you just, the man wants you to stay on topic. I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations with Heather, and I'm like, oh, okay, wait. So we moved to a different topic, because I'm trying to process this in this topic, and it's over here now. And a man needs to appreciate that that's a way that a woman thinks. And he needs to appreciate that she likes to express her emotions on the outside, and we need to value that, not see that as less than, or to feel superior in posture towards it. Lastly, not returning, and he lists a number of negative traits, not returning negative traits, but positive traits. The goal is, I need to see the hidden pain and bring healing. Rather than attack, rather than go on the offensive, rather than insult them, rather than alienate myself from them, I need to realize that underneath the surface of that behavior, there is a need there that needs to be met. Perhaps not by me, but I need not to belittle it. But it needs to be met, and I need to understand where that behavior is coming from. And I hope that this opens your minds a little bit to the differences between men and women and why they're in conflict. Will you stand with me? And worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? And I know I said last week that these messages are not geared towards a response time, but this morning we're going to do so if you feel the Lord pulling at your heart. Are you realizing this morning that you might have some subconscious behaviors or feelings that are creating conflict in your relationships? And you need to repent of an attitude that you've had, and you need healing. Are you realizing today that you might be sending mixed signals to other people? And you're realizing that you need to become more considerate of different ways of thinking. If that's you, maybe you need to repent today. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you're realizing that some of the emotions that you didn't know were driving your actions were. And in your heart, you desperately need to feel loved and accepted. And there is no one better than the Lord Jesus Christ to make you feel that. Because no matter who you are, or what you've done, or what you look like, and what your past is like, and what your feelings are like, there is nobody who can understand you and accept you and love you like Jesus can. Or maybe you're here this morning and you desperately are searching for a sense of self-worth. You don't feel like you matter to anybody. And sometimes these feelings can be to woman to man. Doesn't necessarily end up isolated to one or to the other. And you need the Lord to help you know that you are valued and that you have something to offer. Are you accepting God's call to be involved in ending this war? Let's no longer make a mockery of women or a mockery of men. Let's no longer speak negatively of one another, because Jesus calls us to be one. Jesus calls us to be loving and respectful, and we are many times hurting people, not even realizing it. So if you feel the call that the Lord needs to do some work in your heart this morning, then just come and spend a moment with Him as the worship team leads us. If you would, just close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment. Just sense the need here. Heads bowed and eyes closed. There's someone here, likely a man, but there's someone here that you're struggling with lust and pornography. And I hope that some of this has helped adjust your thinking. Again, heads bowed and eyes closed. When men stumble into that and get addicted to that, and it comes in many forms, I want you to realize that those ladies that you've found images of on the internet many times are ladies who have been abused. Guys tend to think that they just walk into that because they chose to go into that. Many times it's because they're abused. Many times it was people who were emotionally broken and were desperately seeking out love, and they couldn't find it, so they gave themselves over to that. And you are taking advantage of someone who's emotionally broken. And worse yet, many times those images got there because of the sex trafficking that's taking place in the world today. That they were taken captive and forced into that. And I'm not saying that to make you feel guilty. I'm saying that for your freedom. And so again, heads bowed and eyes closed. Please, no one looking around out of sensitivity. If you're here today and you would say, you know what, I have an issue with that, whatever form or media form it is, and I'm saying, I want to be free. I don't want those women to be treated that way because they are the child of God, made in the image of God, and they deserve to be respected and loved and not treated that way. And I'm asking for deliverance from that. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If that's you, would you just lift your hand up for me? We want to pray with you. Okay, good. Anybody else? Good. Good. Anybody else? I want delivered from that. Thank you. Oh, how gracious our God is. How gracious our God is. And I want you to understand that while, yes, that is immorality and it's a perversion of a gift that God has given, God understands why you ended up there. And he doesn't see you as an awful human being. He sees you as someone who needs help. And so, Lord, we ask for deliverance from that. We ask that you would help these that have raised their hands, humbly willing to confess that they have issues in their hearts and in their minds, that you would set them free. That you would help them, men, to see every woman that is around them as a woman who needs to be loved and treated with respect, who is the child of God. And women, to see every man as not a man to be taken advantage of or to be used, but as a man who desperately needs respect and honor because he carries the image of God. And we ask that you would help us to learn to love and respect each other the way that we should. And Lord, I thank you that you gave us many things, many resources, many sources for knowledge and wisdom and insight, and you've given us the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I'm asking that you would help each one of us to learn to be sympathetic and understanding of one another, to be gracious towards one another, to be brotherly hearted, kind hearted, to be humble towards one another, and yet upholding the highest measure of righteousness and purity to honor you, and holding up the highest measure of love and respect towards one another. We ask that you would end the war, the battle between the sexes, at least within this household, that you would help us to truly be, that there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We ask that in your name. Amen. Amen. Ladies, I want you to know that you're a princess. And God loves and cherishes you. And there are many men who see you as a sister, who see you as a mother, and they love you and they accept you. And men, I want you to understand that you are men who carry the honor of the image of God. You are not meant to be pigs. You're not meant to be dumb, because you're not. You're not inferior in any way. You are highly intelligent beings who think and see the world in a particular way. Wouldn't it be great to have that? Aren't you looking forward to heaven? When we get to heaven where there is no more, I wonder what he thinks and she thinks, and I wonder how they feel towards me. No more of that. Could you imagine a place in which everybody around you fully accepts you and appreciates you for who you are? That is one of the sheer delights of heaven. Amen? So relationships are hard, and it's hard sometimes to understand people. Do you have people in your life, and it doesn't even have to be man, woman. Do you have people in your life that you can't get? You can't seem to understand them. God wants us to learn how to understand all the different kinds of people and appreciate them. Why? Because they need to be in the kingdom, and I can't reach them if I can't understand them. That's why we're working through this series, so that we can learn how to understand people. Amen? Well, again, I don't think I see anyone new. So everybody knows that in the back is the food and stuff. And next week, I want to invite you to join us as we look into how to respect the parent-child relationship. And that's irrelevant of whether or not you're a parent or your children are still living at home. All of us, just like we can all impact the household when it comes to marriage, all of us can impact the parenting relationship without even knowing it. So we want to dive into that next week. But I love you guys. God bless you. Enjoy your Labor Day. See you next week.